every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Fun living is the life for me.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House, where we're here to lighten your load. Now look, folks, it's our job this morning to put a smile on your face and to restore hope to your heart. Now, the man that's talking right now is old enough to remember the energy crisis of 1973, where we were told the globe could never survive with oil and retail gasoline at 87 cents a gallon. The global economy would collapse. It didn't. How about the savings and loan crisis of the 80s and 90s, where one-third of the savings and loan institutions went out of business? How about the dot-com bubble? It was called the dot-com bombs, where one-third of the companies on the NASDAQ went out of business, but there were survivors. Today, they're called Amazon, eBay, and Google. How about when George Bush and Al Gore couldn't decide who won the Florida election and everybody's phones quit ringing for 3 months? Did that pucker you up a little bit? Sure puckered me up a little bit at the time. I owned a company that had 100 employees, and the only people calling my office were the employees, wanting to know if they were going to get a paycheck. How about the Black Thursdays we've survived? We've survived Black Thursdays from 1929. We survived Black Thursday in 1987. I opened the most successful remodeling company in Arizona 3 months later, January 1st, 1988. And how about the Great Recession, the subprime mortgage crisis? Arizona real estate went down 60%. We survived that. We're going to survive this. And we're going to do it by putting a smile on your face and restoring hope in your heart. One of the ways we're going to do that is we're going to maintain the Arizona staycation. Now, the Rosie on the House staycation is changing the way it looks a little bit. I have a floor plan here. It says weekend destinations. The Las Kichanas. The Santa Bedrumes. The Puerto Gardenas. The Los Bed. The Rotunda de Sofa. All places you can stay. With your Rosie on the House, Arizona staycation.
Where every day is Taco Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah, where every day is Taco Tuesday. But all kidding aside, we are continuing to run the Arizona staycation. And you can go to rosieonthehouse.com and still apply. All of our partners in that campaign have agreed to be flexible for your scheduling. So you can still win and not be bound to travel until you're comfortable to travel.
And right now we're drawing for Schnepp Farms, their annual peach festival. They don't do the festival anymore because it's kind of a festival every day at Schnepp Farms. You can still ride the train. You can still, there's plenty of play areas. You can still go pick your peaches. You can still get a great meal. And so it was kind of, why have a festival? We have a festival every day. And they've added on this concept of glamour camping. And they've got these retro Airstreams, and I'm looking at the list right now. They've got a 1969 Airstream Ambassador, a 1995 Terry Pullman train, and you can go stay in these 1950s, 1960s Airstreams that they've got completely remodeled and gutted. And that's where we're sending our April staycation winner. And
That's really good.
What the current state will be at that time, but everything back to normal, it'll be right in the middle of peach season.
Oh.
So you'll get to stay in your Airstream, walk over, grab some peaches, come back, make peach cobbler, make a peach ice cream sundae, make a peach fill in the blank. Fresh, juicy Schnepp Farm peaches. So you can go to ArizonaStaycation.com and sign up to enter to win for that event. And we'll continue to, like Rosie said, we'll continue the staycation. And the next one is a agritainment destination. They call it the Cozy Peach at Schnepp Farms is the name of this little Airstream compound glamping. And it is the fourth Saturday of the month. It is the 8 o'clock hour, and we've got the king of agritainment on the line with us today, Greg Peterson from the Urban Farm, who is joining us by phone because he's got some maters he's working on today.
There you go. How are you?
Very well.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I decided this past week to go out and find some tomato plants, and I'm going to plant them in 5-gallon buckets and see what happens.
Now, why a 5-gallon bucket? Because you're out of room everywhere else at the Urban Farm?
Hey, yeah, pretty much that's the case. You know, I have a third of an acre here, and the Urban Farm is near 16th Street and Bethany Home, right near your offices. So when I say farm, people always ask me, how many acres do you have? And I say, well, I wish. I have a third of an acre. That's 80 feet wide and 160 feet deep. And I've been here over 30 years and been gardening and farming here. And you're right, I've just run out of space.
And, you know, Greg, your vision has always been to teach Arizona to grow its own food. So we would be, you know, kind of a food island and be self-sustainable. And, you know, we're kind of seeing right now in this real time the importance of being able to provide for ourselves here locally.
Amen to that. In fact, everything that I've done and everything that I do is pointed at the possibility of what's going on right now. And I have a big concern that our food system might have some breakdowns in it. And that's why I want to teach people how to grow their own food.
And we're coming into the spring, a great time to grow all kinds of things in the desert. Like you said, you've got tomatoes you're working on today. And if I understood right, you're also planting potatoes today.
Yeah, I'm going to give some potatoes in buckets a try. And, you know, melons are coming up real soon. Melons, squash, cucumbers, pumpkins, they all get planted out in the next 60 days. Peppers, eggplants, okra is all great for this time of year.
Okra is one of those that you can replant and keep planting. It'll go through the summer. That's one of the few things that thrive on the heat, and it's a great.
Yes.
I love pickling it.
Oh yeah, there you go. You got to do something to it because it's got all those little pricklies on it.
And it's one of those that we talked about it last week with Jay Harper. Is one of the ways to be successful when you start gardening is pick a plant that is hard to kill. And okra is one of those reward plants. It's hard to kill, and you can, when it gets into produce, I mean, you got something every day you can pick off of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's actually a book. I had the guy on my podcast recently, a whole book on okra. He wrote a 300-page book on okra. I call it the okra tome, I guess, right?
I say that would take me a little while to get through 300 pages about okra.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, now's a great time to grow. In fact, when this whole thing went down a couple of weeks ago, I got on the phone with my team and I said, what can we do? And we decided to give for at least 30 days a gardening class a day, our gardening related class a day online. You know, we have the whole infrastructure set up for our gardening classes to give them online. So we just decided to go that route. And so we're 12 days. Today is day 12 of a free gardening class online. It's 5 p.m. on weekdays and 9 a.m. on weekends. And we've had a great turnout. We're getting 200 to 400 people per class. And you just go to iwanttogarden.com and sign up, and we'll send you a link every day.
iwanttogarden.com, and a daily free class on how to garden. That's specific to Arizona. You know, we're a lot different.
It is not.
No, it's not.
It is not. No,
okay.
No. All of our classes are general enough. In fact, all of the classes that we offer through our organization are general enough that, you know, if you're in Minnesota or Alaska, there's good information for you.
Outstanding. And today's topic, if you follow along in our home maintenance calendar, you can get yours. If you don't have your Rosie on the House, we call it our annual handbook. It's a calendar, but it also has your weekly to-dos to keep up with the maintenance of your home, castle, or cabin. Just email info@rosieonthehouse.com, the address you'd like it sent, and we'll send you your own free Arizona Homeowner Handbook and your home maintenance calendar. You know that we're talking permaculture today in the garden. And Greg, describe what is permaculture in your definition.
Ah, very good. So it's something that I discovered in 1991. And I like to call permaculture the art and science of working with nature. How do we look at nature and work in the flow of nature? Because we human beings, we think we know how to do it better than nature. And I beg to differ. I think that nature will always bat last. And so permaculture is the process by which we observe nature, we pay attention to nature, and then we work in the flow of nature rather than work against nature.
And how does that all start?
Well, it really starts by observing. Getting out in your space and paying attention to what's going on in your space and in the space around your house and in your neighborhood. Permaculture is a design methodology by which we observe what's going on, and then we implement things in our space that make sense in our space. Perfect example is I've lived here at the urban farm for about 30 years. The front of the house faces east, so I get a lot of heavy morning sun in the summertime, and the back of the house faces west. And through a process of observation over the past 30 years, I've come to know where I need my shade planted. And I have this one place in my front yard that I could never figure out what to plant there. And I was walking in the neighborhood, oh my gosh, about 5 or 6 years ago, and I saw a house with the same front yard footprint as mine, and they had a tree planted in the perfect place. And it's like, oh yeah, that's where I need to do it. So spending time in your yard, observing the space. In fact, I often tell people, spend at least a year hanging out in your yard, walking around in your bare feet, paying attention to where the sun is at, paying attention to when it rains, where does the water come, before you make any major changes. Now, I'm not talking don't put a garden in. I'm talking make sure that you know that those fruit trees in your front yard or those trees in your front yard, are they providing you shade before you actually take them out? So about 10 years ago, the people across the street whose front yard faces west, they moved in. I had new neighbors move into the house. And within about 15 to 20 days, they had the chainsaws out and they were taking down these ancient, beautiful grapefruit trees that were planted in the 1930s.